Revelation chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with verse 8 today. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said to me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and just rejoice together. Through those beautiful hymns and through the Sunday school classes, the study of your precious word, our hearts should be stirred and on fire and ready to hear more. And so please today that you just touch all of our hearts and show us your will and your word and your power and your strength. Give us your joy. Show us your love. Teach us your word. As we look, we've studied now for months in the book of Revelation. We have recognized the time, the age that we're in, which is the Laodicean age. We know we're at the end. We know, dear Lord, you're going to come soon. So please, prepare us. Have us ready. Have us something in our hands that we can lay at your feet in praise and honor to you when we see you face to face. And please speak to our hearts as we look once again at this little book. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Mighty angel held the book. John witnessed it. We found in the beginning verses of this chapter, as the angel come down, clothed with a cloud, rainbow was about his head. His face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. We know that he possessed this open book, and it was an open book this time. It's the same book that John witnessed back in chapter 5. At that time it was closed, now it's open. It is open and held by the one that is worthy to open it. John's given some direction here, some instructions here in this eighth verse. Go and take the little book. Take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Again, as this angel stands upon the sea and upon the earth and speaks of his authority over all with his power and his strength. John is given the instructions to not only take this little book, but also he was instructed to do something with it. And the ninth verse tells us what he's to do with it. He is to eat it, take it, and eat it up. This is an action, something that John is to do. In eating this little book, as we have the Word of God before us, we are to take it in, just as we do food. We're to eat. We know what food, what it does to our bodies in giving us strength. We know what it does to our system when we eat something we shouldn't, or what when we eat something that is good for us. When it's good for us, it gives us strength. When it's not good for us, it makes us sick. When we eat food, we take it in. We literally eat the food, and it comes into our system. We need to look at the Word of God in the same manner, because we need to to take the word of God. And John is told here to eat it, to take it and eat this little book. Jeremiah 15:16, and please turn to Jeremiah with me and then on to Ezekiel following that. So let's look back at Jeremiah, because this isn't the first time that someone was told to eat the book. And so we're going back to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, we're going to look at the 16th verse. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by the Lord, by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Let's go to Ezekiel 3. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said to me, Son of man, go, get thee into the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. Now, while we're here, I want you to go over to the 14th verse of that chapter, because what happened in the rest of those verses of Scripture in the third chapter, he is not only told to eat this, in other words, take it in and then give it out. And that's what we're to do with the Word of God. And this roll he's speaking of is a scroll that he was told to eat. So he was to eat this scroll. And so when he ate that scroll, he did eat it, and in my mouth it was like honey for sweetness. Then God in verse 4 told him to take out the word of God to the nation of Israel. And the next few verses say that they didn't hear, that they didn't receive it. It says it's their own language. They should have heard you. Another language, in other words, another people would have, but Israel didn't. And so the result of that, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong before me. And so you see, as the scripture verse back in Revelation speaks of the sweetness and also the bitterness, so we find back in Ezekiel. It was sweet to take in the Word of God. It is sweet to know the Word of God. But many times in the Word of God, we find there is bitterness there. Not for us as believers, and yet it is to the believers because of what the lost is going to receive. So keep that in mind as we look at these verses of Scripture. This roll, and again, not a bread roll, but a scroll in that day, was given to Ezekiel. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. 119 verse 105, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, the greatness of the Word of God. As we study the Word of God, it should be, I hope it is, I hope it's that way to you when you go into the Word of God and study the Word of God. It should be strength and joy to us. And yes, it is always a time of instruction, but any time that there is a time of instruction or an action to be taken, God will always give us the strength to perform that is asked of us, every time. whether it's something personally or whether it's something that we're to do for someone else. God will always, always give us the strength to do it. To eat, one has said, to eat is to make the thing one's own, to incorporate into one's being. And that's what food does. And so we need to do the same thing with the Word of God. We need to eat. We need to take it in the same manner. And so we need to learn that simple lesson today, that we are to take the Word of God and literally feed upon it. And you've heard us make that statement. And today in the study in John on Carthage, why the Samaritan woman was confused about the living water that Jesus was trying to give. You know, how are you going to draw this water, this living water? Is it a special well? Is there something special about it? And then she went to the religions, you know, well, we worship here, you worship there. And that's the way people are all the time. But we need to continue to give out this sweet, sweet honey that is in the Word of God. When we feed upon it, then when we desire to give out the glorious truth of the plan of salvation, the gospel, the sweet gospel. John's told here to eat it up. Eat it up. The verses that we talked about above here, other than the 14th verse back in Ezekiel 3, was of a sweet nature. But also we find that it shall make thy belly bitter, as the scripture tells us here in verse 9. I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. For us to know the Word of God, to know the truths of the Word of God from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, is wonderful. For God to take His Word and show us the future, to show us that we have a home in heaven, a mansion that is built for us, and all we need to do is come by faith and ask the Lord Jesus into our hearts, and He saves us and He keeps us. What a glorious day. What joy comes to the hearts of believers when we are reminded of the free gift of salvation. We're reminded of the great love that God has shown to us and towards us in giving us His Son. But He also shows us the future, a future that is not so bright, but a future that is very dark, and a future that's very terrible and horrible. And what makes it so bad and hurt so much is that we know there isn't a soul that goes to hell or to the lake of fire that has to. They don't have to, but they get caught up as the Samaritan woman did in the religion and who where she worships and things like that, and they miss the truth. They miss the Word of God. They miss the gospel. This book that we have before us, what John has eaten, reveals a terrible and horrible judgments that's coming. Judgments that God is going to hand out in His justice. In the mouth, as it said in Ezekiel 3:3, as honey for sweetness. But this message that John has taken in excites you to know that God's going to show you the future. But then when you see the future, you're sad. Not for yourself, but for all those that have neglected such a wonderful gift of salvation. Ezekiel 3:14 again, went in bitterness in the heat of his spirit. The message of grace is sweet. It needs to be delivered. The message of judgment is bitter, but it needs to be delivered. The gospel must be told, and the truth of God's judgment must be given. Paul tells us that God is a consuming fire. Paul was thrilled with the grace of God, filled with joy, filled with gladness. That's what saving grace is. That's what saving grace gives us. But when you turn to the scene that we've been looking at here in Revelation, and as many Old Testament books makes reference to these days, it's a horrible scene. It's a scene of much blood. The wrath of God and the fury of God as it's about to be poured out upon this earth and upon the citizens that remain should always bring a sadness to our hearts. Knowing anyone is going to go to the lake of fire forever. So it can be joy knowing that there'll be justice done. Sunday school class, we're studying the book of Nahum. And Nahum brings a message to the southern kingdom. Even though they're about to go into captivity, he still brings a message to them. And that message is that God will get justice over the Assyrians, over Nineveh. So see, even though you're going through a time of trial and tribulation, know that justice will come. God's judgment will be right and be timely. And so please that we don't get in a hurry to pass judgment upon someone or try to bring justice to someone that has wronged us. God will bring that judgment and justice. When the instructions were given to John to eat that book, I want to take you back to the Gospel of John, to the 6th chapter, and I want you to go there with me if you would please, because we're going to read several verses. John chapter 6, verse 53. We're talking about eating this book. Ezekiel was told to eat this roll or this scroll. We talked about that being the Word of God. And now let's look at these verses. And I hope that this helps you to understand what Jesus is telling them and is telling us. John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And Jesus was speaking to them. He wasn't taking a piece of his flesh and handing it to them. But he was telling them how that we are to be in Jesus. We are to take him in. We're to, just like we eat. He is to be a part of us. And we are to be a part of him. To have Jesus. Now, if you just go on down to verse 63... it will help you to understand that it's not talking about something physical, but something spiritual. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. That's what he's talking about. Now, with that in mind, let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. You see, we are at class here. We're studying the Word of God. 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now most of you know where I'm going next. We're going to the 14th verse, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you see, the very Word that Ezekiel was told to eat And the very word that John was told to eat is the Lord Jesus. We need Jesus. And that's the only way God knew how to explain it to us. To take it in. To be a part of us. The Word was made flesh. Jesus wrapped God's Word up in the flesh and brought it down to man. And we are to take it into our mind and in our hearts. Just as we eat food, we are to eat and be eating, feeding upon the Word of God. And so I hope that you can see that today with what John is taking in. We are to take in, to consume it. It is to be our strength. It is to be our nourishment and our joy. You can feed upon the Word of God. John, in the 10th verse here, we find ate that little book. He took the little book out of the angel's hand and he ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. That's what the Word of God should be. It should be as sweet as honey. But, you know, once we begin to digest it and understand it, and we look deeper and deeper and more into the Word of God and to learn it, we see that what's going to happen to the lost, the judgment that's coming. And no longer is that joy to us, because it breaks our heart to see maybe neighbors, maybe friends, maybe family members that do not know Jesus. And that should make our stomach just churn. Should be sad to us. Sweet in his mouth, but by the time it hit his belly, the time it hit his soul, it was bitter. God's Word, as we study it, brings gladness and sadness. God's Word, as it's brought, brings joy and brings grief. It is wonderful and it's horrible, depending on which side you stand. Which side of the cross are you standing? Have you come by the cross? And you know Jesus, and you're covered with his precious blood, washed in his precious blood? Or are you still standing on this side and hung up in religion and other things of this life, or just maybe things of this life only, and you haven't even got to the point of being religious? All born again, blood bought Christians, salvation and living for Christ is sweet. But as we look at much of the world, and we see that they have rejected the very blood that Christ has shed for all the world, it becomes something sad and bitter to us to know that they have rejected such a free gift. To know that, and as we know the Word of God and believe it all, I mean, you can be as many, and that is, they take what they want and they believe in heaven, but they don't believe there's a hell. And many do that. Many believe that they can take their works and that's good enough, and they carry their Bible to church and they depend upon their works for salvation. That's not the book that I have. That's not the book that John ate. The book that we have is the book that tells us the truth. And we dare not change it. We know that this book that does tell us of heaven tells us of the lake of fire. Tells us of the place of torment, that they're awaiting their final turn to their eternal home, which will be the lake of fire forever. And knowing that should never taste good. Please, God, help us to go after the lost souls. In the 11th verse here, he tells John, "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." And literally it means thou must prophesy again concerning many people. John was to prophesy of them, not to them. It was over. It's kind of like Nahum as he speaks of what's going to happen to Nineveh. It's over. The fury and the judgment to come will bring new scenes that we haven't seen to this point. It'll bring new peoples that we haven't witnessed before. We are preparing for the end. You know, God showed Abraham the future when he looked down across the valley and cities of the valley, and there was Lot and his family down there. God chose to show him what was going to happen in the future. And to begin with, that is exciting to know that God entrusts you to tell you what's going to happen. But then you see what's going to happen. And immediately then Abraham began to bargain and to say, well, if there's 50 souls, and of course he got down to 10, and we find that there wasn't even 10 souls there. And so God did destroy the cities. And even though it was wicked, wicked people, it still should break our hearts knowing that they will go to the place of torment and eventually the lake of fire. We know we are heaven bound. What a joy that should be. But there's another road that many take, and it's a road that's hell bound. And they can do it through 1,000 different directions, because there's only one way to please our God, and that's to trust in Jesus. The other ways and the other roads and the other gods that they serve, all will fail them. What John has eaten, and it brought a good taste first, but then when he realized really what it was, and as God shows him what's to come. And that's what we find here in this 11th chapter. And the first 14 verses of this is just a continuation between the 6th and the 7th trumpet. We begin here in this 11th chapter to return back to the Old Testament days. We return back to the temple and to all the things that go with that. But what's to come? And as we bring the time of the return of our Lord Jesus, that really brings a full close to everything, we see that God is a God of His Word. If you believe the way of salvation is true, then there's no reason for you to disbelieve what these words are saying. We took a lot of time today just to take a look at the book, but we need to understand as believers that we need to search the Word of God and study the Word of God and know the Word of God. And the more we search it, the more we study it, the more it's going to be a joy to us. And yes, there's part of it's going to be bitter to us, but there's much of it's going to be a joy to our heart, to our soul. And the very study of this precious book will drive us out of the four walls here and begin to tell people about the saving power of Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We have to be powered by Him. We have to be nourished by Him. And if you'll do that, you'll find that He'll give you abilities to do the daily chores. He'll give you the ability and the strength to go out and be a witness as we should be. And allow us to open our mouths when we need to speak the truth that Jesus saves. It's sweet. And it's bitter. Sweet to us, but bitter to think that anybody in the world, either our worst enemy, I don't believe, if you're a child of God, you should not desire that the worst enemy would go to the lake of fire. Is our hearts to the place that what we do is fall on our face and pray for them? God, please save them. please save them. I know why they're that wicked. They're God's the devil. That's what they are. But instead of that, a lot of times we look at that person and we hate that person because of what they have done to us or the way they've treated us. It's the God they serve that has made them that way. We serve the living God, the God that loves and saves. Let's be taking that message out. Because one of these days, Jesus will come. Be all over for us. It just begins for them. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word. I ask that you'll take the words that have been spoken today and take them and make them exactly what you need to do with them into the hearts of each person that's here. For the person that doesn't know Jesus is still on the backside of the cross, please that they come. And they recognize that Jesus, you died on that cross for us. Be saved today. And then, Father, please, take this precious word and apply it to each one of our hearts in whatever we need today. Need today. Please, dear Lord, I thank and praise you for the precious, sweet spirit that we've had today. Now, please, as we sing this closing hymn, I ask that not be the end or the closing, but it just be the beginning of our days in serving you. And please speak to our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.